AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everybody, welcome back to a new episode of Her with Amina Brown. And y'all, let me tell y'all something. The way that I had to just go ahead and start recording right now, because I'm already in my feelings. I know some of y'all are like, is she in her feelings every week? But let's not focus on that. I'm in my feelings today because we have a guest in the Her living room that this has been a long time coming. This has been a long time yes. coming. So I want y'all to welcome Filipino-American director, photographer, fine artist, and co-founder of film production company Groundwork, Christelle DeCastro. Woo, 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 woo. That's right.
Come on. Come on. Yes. Can I just have you present me every day when Please. I walk out of the when I walk out of my space? Mm-hmm. Just yes. That energy is I need that.
Yes. I think what you should also do is give this verbiage to every barista that does like your order at the coffee shop and they're like, oh, what's your name? Be like director, photographer. You're like, you need to hand them like a card so they can say all of it and then be like, your latte.
Right. They're like, ma'am, step aside.
You're like, no, you have to read all of this. Not just my first name, not just my last name. Like all of this.
They're like, ma'am, please leave.
Right. Please get your latte and get on. We have other customers. Get out of here. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. The reason why I'm telling y'all this is a long time coming is because Christelle and I originally met in 2020. I actually met you, Christelle, probably like weeks before this podcast relaunched. So this podcast was seasonal. And I am now under the Seneca Women Network. So this podcast relaunched just probably a few weeks after you and I met. And y'all, those of you that have been following me on this podcast, remember that I was a face of an Olay campaign 2020 into 2021. And any of you that saw the video spot from that, Christelle was the director. Like, I just want to first of all say that shoot was full of a lot of badass women, and you were one of the badass women I got to watch, like making that whole thing happen, Christelle. Like, yo.
Thank you. No, that shoot was incredible. Basically, the whole production team, we were all women. The DP, Daisy, Zhao, right. A woman. Mm-hmm. Like everybody, you know, we were very intentional with making sure that that we recruit up with women. That's kind of important. It was a campaign really about like female empowerment. And so we wanted to make sure that that was represented with the crew.
And Christelle, you and I didn't get to talk about this in detail, I don't think, but I've only been directed two times in my career. And one of those was you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That was like a big, big deal for me. And just, you know, just to let you know, the other one is Robert Townsend. That's like, you're okay. The two directors. So, you know, it's, I feel like I'm in good company. You know,
wow.
Like I'll be able to say when you're out there, you know, winning your awards, I'll be able to be like Robert Townsend and Christelle De Castro both directed me, you know, I'll be able to say, but because I have been a poetry performer so long, it's really like any of my performances or sets or any things like that. Most of the time it was kind of like, really, I had to be self-directed a lot. I walked into the Olay shoot with a lot of nerves because it was the first of in a long time of a shoot that I was doing where I wasn't performing my own work. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like it was hugely scripted or anything like that. We just kind of had some different setups. And just the way you walked in to like the makeup trailer, you just like sat down with me and you were like, hey, here's where I'm thinking like the vibe's going to be today. Here's what you can expect. Like, I just immediately felt so comfortable with you. And we had a long day trying to get all that done. And y'all, let me tell y'all something else that Christelle and the team there were doing. We were in Atlanta shooting. The client was in New York. They were watching from like some element of a live stream where they could kind of
live stream cameras. Yeah.
Yeah. But they weren't actually there in the room. Like if this had been done pre-pandemic, it would have been a gang of people there because the clients would have been there, you know, everyone. But Christelle's directing me, but we're also having to like wait and get clearance from the client watching. Like, that was a lot. Can you just talk about how you and the team were navigating the complications, complexities of having to shoot that in the time that we did, you know?
Oh my goodness. So that was my first commercial out of COVID. So that was like the first big shoot that I got to have during COVID. And we can talk about this when we talk about the production company, but I had a lot of remote shoots, right? Everybody was kind of just making do with what we could with technology. And finally it was like, like now we can be on set. Do you remember like people were wearing hazmat suits on
that's right.
set, right? Like, so this is how fresh it was from being in lockdown. And so, like beauty team was wearing hazmats. Like it was like, we were taking it very seriously to social distance and you know, not get each other sick. Yeah, that was like the biggest shoot since lockdown. And we traveled to, I think, three cities.
Okay.
And obviously there were major women that were going to be in the spot, including Amina Brown, you know, spoken word artist. And, you know, for me, I was nervous to meet you because I'm like, she's a star. She's an artist. And like, you know, we're giving her lines. She's a spoken word artist. Like, I don't ever know what I'm going to get when I'm meeting people, whether they're musicians or designers or actors or whatever. You never know what you're going to get. That's just life.
Right.
And then, you know, you add to that, like somebody with a big profile and then somebody who's an artist in their own right. And then you kind of have to, you know, be the orchestrator of this thing, right? So for me, it's really important in my work that I get to talk to everybody before we start shooting.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, like ideally in a perfect world, I like to chat with my talent before we even get on set, like do a Zoom and just introduce myself or get on FaceTime with them just so that they know who I am. You know, I'm a chill person. And just to establish this sort of like camaraderie prior to the shoot. If I don't get that, then I will always chat with people during hair and makeup just to introduce myself again. And you're not, you know, that way you're not like meeting somebody cold by the time we start rolling.
Right.
And so it was so lovely to be able to like connect with you. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So she's cool. Like, you know, when we chatted, I immediately in myself felt just like a relief because it was like, okay, so she's not going to be a diva, like, you know?
Right.
Because you never know. Mm-hmm. It really do be like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I remember we had some chuckles during that shoot when we were recording the VO.
Yeah. That's
right. So basically, imagine for those listening, we had to record VO aside from lines that were being recited on set. So we took one of the rooms in the studio and, you know, we had a little microphone set up and we were recording the VO as Amina was saying the lines. It was feeding back to clients who were in New York. So we would do the line and then the producer would get like a delayed reaction from clients, right? Because they're populating all of their notes and then she's got to tell it to us. We had some moments during that recording where we were just busting up, like me to me. Like it was just one of those things where like we would look at each other and be like,
okay.
Yeah, no, yep. That's
yeah.
That's not what we're going to do.
Right.
But but that was a cute idea. Mm-hmm.
It was just so nice in that moment to be able to like look into your eyes. And, you know, there were a couple of other folks from the production team in there with us just to look at each other's eyes and be like, okay, so we're not going to do that, but we're going to figure out a way that we feel comfortable. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We're all going to collaborate. It's great. It's great.
Mm-hmm. It was very that.
Okay. Christel, can you talk about when, as a director, this is something as a person who just loves the form of film and that this is something that you work in all the time and not having, I've had a lot of on-camera experience, not as much direction, right? What's the vibe of how you are going to navigate that? Because sometimes you have talent that is going to have script, that have a character they've got to take on. Sometimes they're going to be there like I was to be themselves, but to maybe say things or have to do things that may not feel totally natural to them in the moment. So what do you feel like is the role of the director in that moment?
So for me in particular, and I don't think like all directors necessarily have to be this way or operate in this way, but I actually see myself as an energy doula. So my job on set is to basically orchestrate the energy in the room, not just myself and talent and whoever's on screen, but also to make sure like the crew is feeling alive. The clients are liking what they see and they feel like their needs are being met. Like it's actually very, it's energy work in an interesting way. And like when I'm working with talent in particular, like it is so important for me to get them to feel just like they've forgotten that there's 20, 40, you know, plus people in the room staring at them. So I kind of like to establish like just a sense of trust is so important. And I don't know, it's like something that happens where we kind of click into it. But I try to keep things very light. I try to keep things very, very light. So yeah, so that's kind of how I navigate it. I feel like it's more than just like saying lines and getting the script right. Mm-hmm. It's so much deeper than that. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's like, I take it really seriously. And even though it might be a beauty campaign where like the lines are scripted, I really try to get talent to feel it.
Yeah.
And to identify with it. Mm-hmm. And so it makes the work look and feel authentic.
I totally felt that. And especially when you're shooting for such a long day, I felt like as a director, you were paying attention to that, to the energy level of what happens when you shoot a long time and how and like ways we can kind of like click back in to try to like find the energy, you know, we can get access to there, you know, to kind of finish out the shoot. So there were a lot of moments like that, that I felt like you gave me those moments to recenter, you know, you gave me those moments to be like, okay, now here's a different setup from what we've been doing. Let's think about this. Yes. Let's talk about
this.
And
it's important to hype people up as well and let them see themselves. Like that's so important to be like, do you see yourself in this shot? Like, this is gorgeous. It is so important to like touch base with, because I would want to know, would want to know how I'm looking if I was doing something really difficult or, you know, because sometimes it just feels unnatural, the things that we're saying on screen, like, like, you know what I mean? Then you see it and you're like, that actually looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It just gives you that bit of courage to like keep on the path, you know? So
it's definitely a moment where like you sometimes, as I felt anyway, it's like you're on camera. You're like, does this look, and you like need someone to be like, you a bad bitch.
Absolutely.
Be like, don't worry about it. It's giving bad bitch right now. You're doing great. And you're like, okay. Because sometimes you're there in yourself. You're not knowing how like it's coming across with all of the other tools that are there, the lighting and the way the camera's shooting you and there are angles, like you don't know about all that. You're just in your own body, sometimes in your head, depending on, you know, where you are in the shoot. So to have someone whose vision is thinking about the broad scope of that, like you really impressed upon me how important it is to be directed. And told my husband, I said, babe, if Christelle DeCastro ever called me up someday and be like, hey, I'm working on a project and I want to know if you, I would be like, okay, girl, but just go ahead and email me because whatever you're saying, yes, whatever you're saying, I bet I can do it. Send me
Noted.
Please put it down in your planner, Christelle. Okay. Just so you know, like just would have a lot of weight with me because I just enjoyed your expertise and your professionalism and your ability to not, you had this way. And I feel like this was true of the crew overall that day too. Mm-hmm. It's like, you had this way of being like, you know, it's firm, but it's also gentle. It's thoughtful. And we've all worked in this industry long enough. You know, you have some experiences with people who are just like, all they know how to be is a cussing football coach. Doesn't matter what position they're in, you know, and that's not always the energy that you might need in the moment.
Listen, I mean, we are so lucky that we get to do this for a living. I feel like this work is fun and we're lucky to do it. And we're not like operating on someone's deathbed, you know, if that were the case, then, you know, maybe I could see a world in which like stressing out and, you know, like kind of like losing composure could be a thing because it's someone's life, but we are making films. We're like making beautiful images. Like this is fun. This is like not everybody gets to do this. So at the end of the day, I'm like, there's no reason to be flashing on people on set, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a little bit of a deeper dive into your career journey because the experience you've had as a director, as a photographer, as a fine artist, now as a co-founder of a film production company, all of these things involve the visual arts in some regard. So talk to me about how did that journey start with you? How did you know that you had interest, skill, talent to want to explore like how you could do the visual arts yourself?
Yes. Okay. So it's, I'll take you through the journey. I'll try to give you the Cliff's Notes of it, but it'll all make sense in the end. But basically when I was in high school, so I grew up in the Bay and in like a suburb in the Bay, kind of like a baby Oakland. The only thing putting us on the map was that we had a BART station that landed in our, that finished in our little suburb.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I would watch the public access channel, and the high school of my town had like a 30-minute segment on that channel where like all the high schoolers would make, you know, silly projects and then put it on the public access channel. Obviously, as like a young kid, I would always be like, they're so cool. Like, I want to take that class or whatever. They were just silly projects. And then flash forward to me going to high school, I took the TV video class. Now, my high school was like a poor Euphoria. Okay.
Thank you for that.
So, so all of the crazy shit that goes on in Euphoria, like, and like the very inappropriate stuff, like those things were happening in my high school. We were not a rich high school.
Okay.
But I love my high school. I'm so happy I went there because it gave me so much soul and it was so fucking diverse and like just, we just were soulful. We had like, we didn't necessarily advance in the books, but like we had a poppin' marching band. We had, you know what I mean? Like we had an amazing theater program. And then we also had this TV video elective that everybody kind of wanted to take because the football coach was the teacher of that class. And he was just super cool. And this is how bad my high school was. You could cut class and go hang out at another, and just go hang out with your friends in another class. And the teachers would let you.
Wow.
Chill in the class. Yes. It was not crazy for my TV video teacher to be like, I'm hungry. Can somebody get me a burger at Burger King? And then just literally put his keys up and then a kid would just drive out with his car.
Wow.
It was Wild.
Wow.
So that was my high school. And anyway, so I took this class. Everybody wanted to take that class because it was infamous for just being a class where you could just like chill with your friends. But I actually took it seriously. And like, I had so much fun. And my teacher would just be like, yo, you need to borrow a camera. Like, he just let me, he created an environment. And I think because I was the only kid who actually like made stuff, he was just like giving me any of the tools that I needed.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, to the point where for one summer, he snuck a computer into the back of my car so I could edit for the summer.
Wow.
He let me take home a computer from school.
Wow.
Which is really amazing. Right. So I realized when I was like 14, I was like, I really want to become a filmmaker. This is what I want to do. I want to be a director. And I'm from an immigrant family, Filipino family. I moved here when I was 5. We had a mom and pop grocery store mm-hmm. that I started working at when I was 11. So it's kind of like everything everywhere all at once, mm-hmm. like that vibe. Mm-hmm. I know that so well, like that sort of immigrant, like family business hustle. That was my family to the T. So I remember being at the dinner table saying like, I realized I want to be a director. And my dad like scoffed at me, you know, he was like, with what money? Like, I'm not following, you know? And it was just like, okay, well, that dream, that bubble has been popped. Mm-hmm. But that kind of reaction was to be expected from him. And anyway, what ended up happening was after high school, at that point, my father had left our family mm-hmm. and my mom was now a single mom with this store. And I'm the one daughter of 3 kids. So I'm the middle child of 2 boys. Okay. So I was always kind of relied on to be like one of the, you know, one of the cash register girls at the store. Got so it. I was, my older brother like had to go out and make money. My little brother was too young. And then it was just like, it was like me, you know, and like I retained the language the most out of me and my big brother. Angel, my little brother didn't speak Tagalog. So I kind of was, I had to just be around.
Got it.
So not that I wanted to go to college in San Francisco, but it was something I had to do in order to take the train on the weekends to work and help my mom.
Got it.
So I kind of put my kind of dream on hold. I also didn't really even have really any direction as to like how I was going to make that happen. But what ended up happening was, so I went to San Francisco State. I went with a theater and cinema double major idea. That's what I wanted to do. I quickly fucking like dropped out of theater. Cause I was like, bro, like if this is going to be my future, like, I'm like, why are you showing up to class with a cape on? That is just unnecessary. I was like, I can't, these are not my Yo. People. I love acting, but I was like, I don't see this being my future. So I'm going to drop that. What ended up happening was, I went from, remember, my teacher was just like, take a computer, take this camera. He was really involved with just helping me like creatively grow, to going to this school where like we didn't have any video projects. My first year there, it was mostly like theory. So we didn't work on anything creative. And I went on Craigslist to try and find students from other schools that I could join a project with.
Wow.
I go on Craigslist. It's these kids going to the Academy of Art. They were shooting a commercial for like a school project and they needed actors. So I tried out, I got a part, and the DP and I became besties from that point on. And he introduced photography to me.
Wow.
He was an incredible, still is an incredible photographer. His name is Ego. He's Japanese. He lives in Japan now, but he literally, I mean, this man, I wasn't even interested in photography at all. Like he just had these gadgets that I didn't understand. And like the light meter, just, I was like, what is that? Like, I would just be like, what are these things? And one day he was just like, you keep asking me questions. Do you want to just try it? And I was like, no, I just, what is that? Like, that's just a weird vintage looking thing. And basically he ended up teaching me how to take pictures. He, again, he's an angel in my life, and he would give me film, and then I would shoot through the film, and then we would develop it in his kitchen, and then we would make contact sheets. And this now became like the new thing that I could involve myself with that was feeding my, it was like, you know, in high school, I got to really like feed my creativity through that video class. And then now I found this thing that like I could do by myself. It's instant gratification because I shoot it and then we develop it. I get to see it. It's not like shooting a video and then having to edit it. And so it just was like blowing my mind, photography. And then in the next year, I got into like my first group exhibition. So I was basically like photographing all the like kids that I was running around San Francisco with and like just like photographing like musicians. And so I was a street photographer. Like that was my vibe. Yeah. Just like the scene. I was like shooting the scene. And then that became my world.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I was heavily involved in like gallery shows, but specifically street art, right? Mm-hmm. So not, it's lowbrow. It's very lowbrow. It's just like, you know, like photos of like kids getting drunk. And you know what I mean? Like that was the vibe. Cut to moving to New York, finally, when I was 24.
Whoa.
I moved to New York because I was working at a diner in back home. And I was like, okay, I love this. I love what I'm doing and I love photography, but how do I make money from this? Like I'm shooting my friends, mm-hmm. I'm shooting bands, but like, how do I then make a career out of what I'm doing? Right. I hadn't been printed in I had been printed in one magazine. I just didn't know how to take it to the next level. And I just felt like New York was the key. So I moved to New York and immediately I felt like I can't be this art girl. Cause I'm not from an academic background.
Huh.
Right.
Okay.
Because in New York, it's not about lowbrow. It's very much about highbrow. And it's very much about like your master's and like being able to speak about, I'm like in New York, you can lean a broom on a wall and have a little title card next to it and a written thing. And people will be like, wow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. That's a fact. That's a fact.
I just felt so outside of it. I felt like, there was no way I was going to be able to compete with these people. I dropped out. I didn't get my degree. So I just felt very intimidated.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, well, I'm just going to then have to figure out how to work in this field. And so then I went more commercial and I started learning digital photography. Then I started like shooting for like brands and I went that way. It was funny because in those early years when I would go to San Francisco, they'd be like, do you have a show coming up? So in SF, they knew me as an artist. And then here, I was really more of like, I was working commercially. And then a couple years into that, I started getting the pangs in my heart. I wanted to direct. So I started slowly bringing that back into my practice. 2013, I think, was the first like fashion film I directed. And then now, cut to now, I'm like 95% directing.
Wow.
Yeah, for work. And I still love photography. If I could have it my way, it would just be like, I would just do it as my art practice. But I won't say no to a check.
That's right. Just in case anybody's listening, you can still pay Christelle for some photographs. You can still pay her for that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, we don't know who's listening, Christelle.
It's a long story, but I think the context is necessary for people. Like, yeah, I'm actually doing my first love. I'm pursuing my first love. Wow. And so I just feel fucking blessed to be here, you know?
No, like, I thank you for sharing that journey, because the reason why I want our community here in our Her Living Room to hear that is because a lot of times we're meeting someone at the point we see them. We're not getting to hear like all of the rough and tumble journey, all of the stuff we learn, like, oh, I don't really like that, but I didn't know I'd like this. You know, there's all of that stuff that like leads a person to their sweet spot that you see them in. Yes. And I think when we look at our own lives, it's sometimes hard to think that all this stuff I've been trying to figure out could actually be leading me down the road where I'm going to end up where I'm supposed to be anyways. So I just really appreciated you sharing that journey with us. So now take me from, now you have photography as a part of art that you're doing. You have your commercial work. You're now getting into directing. How does that transition into entrepreneurship? What was the journey like between there and we is starting a company? We is starting a company in 2020. Tell the people. Tell the people, Christelle.
Listen, that was humbling, the 2020 moment, because we were forming in 2019 before any of us knew what the fuck was going to happen, right? So we were forming in 2019, and then the pandemic happened and we were like, oh shit, like this is a funny time to be doing this. But here's the wonderful thing is that we didn't have an overhead. So, so my business partners, it's me and my business partners are all in the UK. So I head the New York office, then we have a London office and an office in Bristol. We were running the New York office out of my living room.
Right.
So it wasn't like we had some other rent we needed to pay. It wasn't like we had an employee that we hired on that we had a salary for. There was no really losses on our part. It was just, you know, a slow season to start in. So that was the blessing, you know, like when that happened, we were like, well, the good thing is it's not really affecting us. So it was fine. And the entrepreneurship, I think I will always have that bone in my body because I grew up in a family business. Right. And that's just kind of where that came from. That's kind of what I'm used to, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Like, especially just hearing your story coming from a family that you were also watching be entrepreneurial and how that like affects your journey and what you know is possible, what you know is possible to do. Like, I think that's so dope. And 2020 just, you know, it just snuck so many of us, Christelle, because the way I had the tours lined up, it was going to be a spring and a fall and it was like so many things. But, you know, to be honest, like I didn't know I was going to get a podcast deal. I didn't know the Olay opportunity was going to even arrive. I mean, truthfully, I ended up getting booked at P&G's headquarters, actually. Mm. I want to say this is like a week before the pandemic tip. This is when everyone was just like leaving hand sanitizer out because we're just like, I don't know, something seems like it's going on someplace kind of thing. But
before
like
it became real, like super real.
Yeah, it was like we weren't really sure. Right. And I actually did some poetry there and the Olay team was sitting in the room and they were like, you just did a piece that sounds exactly like this campaign thing we're working on. And then the pandemic started and I was just like, well, I'm glad we had that conversation. That was that. But then to your point, there were still all of these creative things that went on after that. Yes. That people were like, okay, we can figure out some ways to like film some people from home. We can figure out some ways to do these voiceovers this way. You know, there was a lot of like innovative things that I think a lot of us as creatives had to do. Like, I love that for you and your business partners. Like now you can look back at this 3 years. Do y'all ever sit around and be like, yo, like we actually made it through this?
Oh, all the time, all the time. Like we really had to get savvy with like the remote tech, you know, we needed to get savvy with like, what do we need in order to like produce something? And it was nuts. It's a thing I would not like to go to anymore, but I'm glad, you know, that's something that we evolved and learned through that time. But yeah, I'm curious, like for you and like poetry and touring, you said, you know, all these tour dates got canceled. Do you find in your field, it's adapting to a new world, or like our tours back, our performances back for you?
They haven't come back for me fully yet, but in some ways it was kind of like the work that came to me over this past 3 years was all stuff for the most part that I could do from Atlanta or do from home. So a lot of it was more like some collaborative type of work. And obviously the podcast and like you're watching me here in my husband's studio. So we just made a lot of stuff. We just made it from here. But I am a stage person, Christelle. That's really where it's at for me. Like every other thing I'm doing came from me loving writing, which led me to loving the stage. So I'm starting to get to a point where I was just starting to cry because I was just like, I don't know. Is this someplace people is? And I could just go there and just like say hello. Can I say a poem to y'all? Can I do a poem or something? So in a way now, I'm just now kind of getting back out, like taking my poems back out to open mics. That's a big part of my process. I've been trying the moth and learning how to do that sort of like storytelling form, which has been really, really good and like challenging for me to figure out. So I feel like I'm seeing the touring come back for bigger name artists, which I hope means that that will happen for some of us.
That's
as
the
indie.
Culture is going to be.
Yeah.
The culture's still here.
For us as indie artists. And I think some indie artists too are kind of thinking about like, you know, maybe pre-pandemic, you might have an artist like me and an artist over here and an artist over here and an artist over here. And they're all touring separately. I'm watching a lot of indie artists figure out like, okay, maybe it's better during this time to be figuring out how we tour together, how we put three or four artists on a bill and kind of build ourselves back up to an audience and people get more comfortable, you know? So I think a lot of the collaboration that came out of this time, like you said, not a time I would like to go back to, but the collaboration that we learned and the ability to just like think on the fly and figure out how we can do things. Like, I think that's a thing I hope that we keep, you know?
Yes.
I also wanted to ask you about mentorship. I want to talk about this, Christelle, and I want to hear your thoughts about it because sometimes people ask me like, who's your mentor? And sometimes I kind of feel like I had a lot of mentors from afar. Like if you walked up to those people, they wouldn't be like, I know Amina, but I would be like, I read her books through and through and she mentored me from afar.
Through that.
Not at her house and not in her office.
Not but personally. She doesn't know who I am.
She doesn't know me, but I watched her videos until I had her videos like memorized, and so she mentored me. So you have the experience of now as an entrepreneur, now having been in your career as long as you have a lot of folks that probably see you, hear your story and are like, tell me everything, Christelle, be my mentor, be my mentor. I want you to talk about what's the process like for you of knowing when the fit is right for you to mentor someone. And then I also would love to hear your journey, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, of finding mentors for yourself.
Sure. So I actually started teaching at Parsons, which is fucking nuts because I don't have my degree, right? When they tapped me to teach this class, well, people listening to this won't be able to see this, but I was like this.
You were like, who?
I'm looking over my shoulder like,
to me? You talking to me?
I was like, I took the meetings and I was like, you want me to teach this class? Like, you want me? But it was an intensive photo and video intensive for MFA fashion students.
Wow.
So it was teaching fashion designers how to think in the world of pictures and in video, which was so amazing. And it was such an awesome, it's an amazing fashion program at Parsons. But like the directors of that program basically wanted to give their, like they had a movement class because they were like, look, if you're going to design something, let's say for Amina Brown, who's going to recite something at the Grammys, she can't feel stiff. Like you need to know how your clothing feels. And like, you know, so they just thought of so many out of the box things, including this course that I taught. And I was there for 4 years. This is my first year not teaching anymore. But what I realized is I really love connecting with younger people. I really love teaching. I really love just like, and again, it's coming from this maternal place. It's like totally coming from this, like, it's the same with directing. There is a level of care and like, there's heart. It's a lot of heart that goes into both directing and teaching for me. So I feel like I get so much out of that kind of interaction. And I love doing like guest speaking for, you know, organizations, for other creative students. And I've been doing, I actually have had a lot of speaking engagements this month with different organizations. I love doing that. So I don't mentor anybody one-on-one, but like I mostly show up for young folks in that way.
Yeah.
When I did have a team of interns pre-COVID, I obviously mentored them, but I always find myself in the space where I'm being asked to mentor, which can get very, I guess the word would be overwhelming.
Yeah, sure.
In a world where you are a woman of color.
Yeah.
And you are dying for a mentor yourself. Mm-hmm. In my personal life, like I don't have anybody in my family that I can sort of lean on or look up to for financial advice. I'm the one who's going to have to like take care of my family. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
Like I'm working hard because I don't see, like, I feel like I'm going to have to be the one to break the cycle of, you know, of not having enough money in my family legacy, you know? So it can be very tough when like so many different groups of people are leaning on you for advice and mentorship. I'm always happy to do that, but I am out here fucking trying to look for a fucking mentor because it's tough out here. And I think it wasn't until recently where I was like, you kind of need to look for a mentor yourself. Right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what about you? Like, do you have any mentors that you can talk to or get advice from?
I don't feel like I do, Christelle, which is why I just identified so much with what you said, because I think especially some of the spaces that I've been in, there would definitely be a lot of young folks of color that would just like gravitate to me. And I love it. And then I would also be like, ooh, who is the person that I'm gonna call or email or who is that exactly?
Yes.
So yes. I feel like when I look back at my story, there are people I can see like, oh, that person really had an impact on the form of what I'm doing or, you know, how I decided to approach this. And so I'm like, I don't know if I thought back then I was being mentored, but now I can see I was, right? Like when I think about your story about your teacher from high school, right?
Yes.
It's like, I think a lot of like the mentoring part that's hard too is like when some people talk about it, it sounds very formal. You know, it sounds very which I guess maybe is like more of a corporate America kind of style, which for folks like us that are working for ourselves, we're just not going to have that kind of ladder experience where you're going to be like, here, I am a supervisor at this level in the company. I would like to ask so-and-so who's a manager of this department to now be my mentor, wherein we will go to this very expensive place and they will pay for me to eat like Niçoise salad while we like talk over whatever this is, you know?
Right.
And I feel like when you're like in the creative space, you just don't have, like, you're like, am I a supervisor? Am I a manager?
But you know what? I think we need to have that.
Yeah.
Like, so I think what we have had probably are a bunch of angels. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I see it. Mm-hmm. So like my, you know, my teacher and Ego who taught me photography, like they were angels in my life. I wouldn't consider them mentors necessarily. Mm-hmm. They opened my eyes to things and they really like invested and they created an environment for me to like blossom, which is I am so forever grateful for. I consider them angels in my life. I would love to have like a fucking savvy seasoned businesswoman that I can speak to who can, you know, give me grace that I'm still out here flailing, but like, you know, give me a little bit of like, help me see what kind of structure I need to build out to my life. Like someone I can look up to and be like, wow, like, you kind of come from a similar past or whatever. Or I just fucking like adore what you're doing, but like, it's really tough out here. I realize often, I think more so lately, like, I feel like I'm out here in this world being almost forced to be more masculine and more aggressive than I even want to be.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a partner. I don't, you know, I'm just single mom in it with my dog. You feel me? Like, I actually don't want to be a leader 100% of the time. Mm. I also want to be led.
Say that, Christo. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, it's a beautiful realization. I mean, like 14, almost 15 years into living in New York City, I'm only just realizing, you know, it is actually okay to like, to take a beat.
Yeah.
And like open, like right now I'm in a space of like, I just want to like, open my world up to other folks to come in and help me out because I do not have all the answers.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am.
Yeah.
And there are fucking amazing women who are killing it all around us. So I think it's just about, yeah, like this is a great platform for me to even just say, you know, if there's anybody listening who would like to have a coffee.
If you're listening, you
with
let
me
us
and
know.
Amina.
Okay. Cause whatever you say to Christelle, I want to eavesdrop on that. Yeah. As well. So we know you're listening. We want that. And Christelle, I think too, I just resonated so much with what you just said, especially when you are sort of having to create a path for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I have felt that a lot as a poet because people are always like, what a poet? Like, how do you live? Do you eat food? What are poets doing out here? You know? And I sort of feel like I carved this lane for myself, which meant I didn't have a specific person that I could go to and say, hey, when you were my age and you were doing this, it was sort of like I would have to kind of build that out of various sundry types of people. But I do think a part of it I'm trying to work on, Christelle, I ain't got it all the way together. Maybe I never will either. But a part of it I'm trying to work on is like how to put myself in spaces where I'm being poured back into.
Right.
And really digging into like, what does that look like for me? Are there conferences or retreats that would be a space where I can say, of all this hustle that I'm doing to make this money, what percentage of that money can I give to like, I'm going to go to something where I'm going to sit there and get to learn from other people, right?
And
sometimes that can be a space, I think, where you can catch a vibe from someone to see if you think they would be like a mentor type person. One of the things that's worked for me so far, which is not technically mentoring, or maybe some people would say it is, but it's sort of like having like a peer knowledge share. Like I have a very small number of Black women that every now and then we like get on a Zoom and one of us will be like, I'm about to have a meeting where I have to pitch this idea to this brand. Y'all pour into me what you think based on your industry. Pour into me what you think I should think about, what you think I should ask, what should I say, what are things I should consider as I'm preparing for this. And we all kind of like take a turn. And so I think as creatives, like, in some ways we can give to each other the thing that we wish we had ahead of us. Now, the hope is, like, when I look at you, Christelle, and when I look at how far my career has come, I hope that the generations after us will have more access to mentorship. I hope to give back to the people coming after me, like, more than was able, more than I guess I was able to receive. But in some ways, some of us weren't able to receive that because who was doing this?
Right.
Like this specific thing. You know? It's like, sometimes it's like, oh, I just made up a lane right here. So now like, I don't quite have that one exact person where I can go to. Right. But like, who can be that? So I think some of it is like, every time I learn something, I'm always like in an episode of like Black Girl Who Tries to Pretend Like She's Been Places. And it's like, every time I learn something, you know, every time I do get a new contract and look in the clauses and be like, oh, I didn't know that could be a clause. Sometimes I might hit up a creative friend and be like, girl, let me tell you what was in the contract just in case you get one like this, you know? So like creating some element of peer sharing, which can be like a little mini mentoring, because sometimes my friends,
essentially.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
They're like across having the same experience as you, but sometimes they get in a room different from you or get in a room you want to get in. And when they come back and be like, girl, when you go in there, don't order this, order this instead.
Right. No, that's actually so important. I was actually reading, there was this, I can't remember what book this is from, but this person was talking about having creative, kind of like a creative group.
Yeah.
That like every week for like 30 minutes they would meet, and it might have even just been two people that would meet every 30 minutes. But I thought that was like smart, because it's kind of like therapy. Like I speak with my therapist every single week, but like, how cool could it be to like speak with a peer and just be like, this is what's going on in my world. This is what's going on in my world. And it's actually like agenda based, like you're meeting for those 30 minutes, not just to like kiki, but like you know, okay, what's going on? What can I help you with? Okay, can you pour into me now? Like, yeah, I think that's brilliant. Why? Like, we need to do that.
More. Okay, I think not me wanting to invite you and figure out how we do that.
Period.
So I'm glad we talked about it, Christelle. Okay, because the creatives need to put there. Because sometimes for me, Christelle, it's also like some of my other friends are just in different industries from me. They're not necessarily like creatives. So that will add like a different element that I'll kind of feel like, oh, I'm not sure how, I need to explain to you this part of how this typically works. Whereas someone like you would be like, oh yeah, no, totally. Like I've been in the meetings where like we were talking about that. I've looked at the contract. So we had to decide
watch
these
out
things.
For this. Or
right.
Like, don't
exactly.
Let them talk to you
into this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm glad we talked about that so we can invite each other. That's very good.
Yes, exactly. So we can start it.
Thank you.
But I'm sure so many people who are going to be listening to this are going to resonate with wanting to find a mentor.
Yeah.
And I'm calling on all those people to comment on this post.
For sure.
Because maybe this can possibly start some sort of, I don't know, like.
It's like a match.com, but for mentors.
Right.
Yeah. That's what we need. It's like a
mentor match. But to your point, the retreats and all that stuff, like that is something that I need to look into. I think that that's a great idea.
Yeah. At least to get started. Because sometimes that'll put you in the room with some people. And then some of it also, Christelle, for me, is like sometimes I meet people that could be my mentor and I'm scared to ask them.
Right. So we need to do the work. Yeah, right. Because people have the audacity to ask us.
Okay. You know, and sometimes they ask and I'll be like, I got you. Let's meet. Let's do. So it's like sometimes you don't know a person might be like, I can't, you know, meet with you every week for 2 hours, but call me right now. I got 30 minutes. Ask me some things. Let me know what you need. Let me look into it. Something. So also like not being afraid to put the ask out there when you do come across someone that you feel like that vibe from. Don't be afraid to like toss it out there to them. You never know when someone might be like, let's hop on the Zoom. I got you. I'll answer your questions. I got 30 minutes. So you better make that 30 minutes.
You hit. Are so right. Yeah. You are so right.
Make it hit.
We actually need to acknowledge the fact that we are not asking as well. Yeah.
I gotta get into that for sure. But yeah, if y'all want to mentor Christelle, please hit us up right now. And also if you want to pay Christelle money, that's separate from the mentoring. But if you want to use Christelle's services, you can also pay for that as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. I wanted to ask you a very important question to close our interview, Christelle, because when we are here in the her living room. What I imagine is like, this is the place that I gather with my girlfriends. It's the living room. It's that old couch that you got on sale somewhere. When your girlfriend comes over and she's like, girl, I brought these crackers and a little bit of cheese I opened last week. And you're like, girl, I got a bell pepper. I got a little bit of hummus I tasted last week. And you just bring your little snacks together. It's like a little snack potluck. I want to know, when you are with your friends, when you are with your homies, what's the snack that you are bringing to this type of situation?
Okay, so currently I am doing keto, right? Mm-hmm, so my snacks are like, it's like meat and cheese, like salami and like cheddar and like nuts. Technically nuts are not keto, but like I'm on that like protein-y vibe, train.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. If that were not the case.
If we were not doing keto.
If we were not doing that. Okay, so let me tell you what I love to eat at the movies. I get a big ass popcorn. And I go to the movies by myself all the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have like body dysmorphia because I really swear like I'm going to be able to eat like this huge tub of popcorn. But I get a big old popcorn and I get plain M&Ms. And I salt and butter the shit out of that popcorn. And then I temper the M&Ms onto the popcorn. And it is... delightful. And I get a big ass Coke.
Yep. That's right.
And it sends me into another dimension. Mm. And that snack right there is so phenomenal. And then another one I've been doing, this is all like trashy stuff. Okay.
I'm here for it.
But trashy delish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. some like just getting some like cute organic and like you can get vegetarian refried beans, but I'll refry that shit up with some cheese in it and then serve it warm with some tortilla chips and some hot sauce mm-hmm. and some sour cream and jalapenos. That right there for a little TV binge with the homegirls. Ugh, that's delish. Great.
When you said you warmed it up, like that's when I knew that we were people right there. It's two things.
Oh yeah.
Said.
We warm it up over the oven.
You said you warmed it up. I needed that. Yes. When you said you tempered the popcorn with the M&Ms, the fact that you said tempered, let me know that you are my people, Christelle. Right. You are my people. Because you was like, I'm not going to pour the M&Ms. I'm a temper the popcorn. Uh-huh. That's it.
The reason why you have to temper, and this is very important, this is a very important step, is all of the M&Ms fall to the bottom. Right. And so you have to just go a little bit at a time to like be able to still access the M&M popcorn.
Especially if it's like
moment.
A big tub of popcorn, right? Oh, you don't want all the good stuff to like end up on the bottom. Wow, Christelle, fix my life today because...
Listen, you have to try it.
Okay, thank you.
What about you? What's your favorite snack?
I am a popcorn girl.
Okay.
I'm a popcorn girl in all circumstances. I'm in the movies and without. I am just a popcorn girl all the time. I air pop the popcorn at my house. I just get into that. I'm getting involved in some nutritional yeast these days. You know,
farm to table.
Okay,
popcorn.
Okay. We're just throwing a little. You know, my mom was a big seasoned salt person on the popcorn. That's how she raised me. So I sprinkled a little seasoning salt on it. You shake up the bowl. Like that's me. Popcorn is my favorite snack. I feel as a person who would bring snacks to a thing. I mean, I am a hummus girl. I do a particular, I like a particular brand of hummus. I don't just want to walk in a store and assume everything's fine. Like it's like, if it's not the brand of hummus I've decided is delicious, then we're just not doing that.
We're
now.
Not doing, yes.
You know,
it's
so
all or nothing.
I want to bring prosciutto into this conversation.
Right.
I love my husband. We've been married a very long time. And prosciutto is so delicious. Mm. Like, considered adding prosciutto as an additional partner to this situation. You know what I'm saying? Just like, considered for a second, would my husband agree to be like, you can be married to me and prosciutto? You know, like in a world, we can do that. Like, that's how much I enjoy prosciutto. Yes.
That is so funny.
Yes.
I love a prosciutto moment.
It's so like anytime I go somewhere to a restaurant and they're like, they could be like lasagna, fried chicken topped with prosciutto. I'm like, yes, I'll have that.
You zero in on that word and you're like that, please.
I don't care. Prosciutto and a little ice cube. Yes, that sounds great. Prosciutto.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yes. Amazing.
Christelle, thank you so much for joining me in the living room, for bringing us these snack ideas, because I needed to investigate this further. Thank you for sharing your journey with us. People are going to want to follow you. People want to know how they can give money to Groundwork so that Groundwork can help them look fabulous and crispy. Tell the people how they can engage with you and your work. Tell me the things.
Sure. So on Instagram and in TikTok, it's Christelle _ studio. My name is spelled Christelle _ studio. And then Groundwork, you can see, well, if you want to see my website, it's ChristelleDeCastro.com. Groundwork is ground-work.co. C-O. But if you go to my Instagram, you'll get linked to all of that stuff. And Amina, I just want to thank you so much for having me on. This was so lovely connecting with you. It's been too long. Yeah. And I feel so blessed that you've given me this space and that we could connect today. It's been lovely.
You're the best, Christelle. Thank you.
Produced by Matt Owen for Soul Graffiti Productions as a part of the Seneca Women Podcast Network in partnership with iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.